If you would turn, please, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to kind of unpack it and then see what the Lord has for us. Psalm 100, it's a psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May the Lord bless His word. So if someone were to kind of spend a couple days with you, how would they describe you? How would they describe you? What are some of the adjectives they would use to describe the kind of personality you are? Would they describe you as somebody who is thankful, who is joyful, who is grateful to God for His blessings, who has faith and hope and trust in the Lord? Or would they describe you as somebody who always complains? You're in a desert and your throat and mouth are parched, and someone gives you a glass of water that is only half full, and instead of rejoicing and saying, "Yes, I have a glass of water that is half full," you say, "I can't believe it. This is half empty. This is a bad day." What kind of person are you? Are you somebody who complains, who always looks at the negative in life, the negative aspects of life? Or are you somebody who is thankful, somebody who is joyful, somebody who sees that there is a God who is good, who reigns as King and Lord, and is your Lord and your Savior, and has blessed you? And as you go through life with Him. And you know that at the end of the day, because God is King, it's going to be okay. So how would someone describe you? Psalm 100 invites us to be people filled with praise and thanksgiving. And then it gives us reasons how we can nurture that attitude of praise and thanksgiving. So let's look at it. Now, Psalm 100, it's a short psalm, five verses. And verses 1 to 3 is the first section. And verses 4 and 5 is the second section. But they're parallel in how they're put together. They're just parallel constructions. So look in the first section, verses 1 to 3. In verses 1 and 2, we're invited to worship God, to be thankful to God, to shout for joy to the Lord. That's the invitation, verses 1 and 2. And then verse 3 gives us reasons why we should be thankful and why we should worship the Lord. And then the second section, the construction, the structure is the same. It's a parallel passage. In verse 4, it invites us to worship God, to be thankful to the Lord, to praise Him. And then verse 5 gives us reasons why we should do so. So let's kind of unpack these two sections. Again, they're parallel sections. They're constructed the same. An invitation to worship and to be thankful. Reasons to be thankful and to praise God. So let's look at them. Let's look at the first section, verses 1, 2, and 3. The psalmist starts off, he says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Now note, he's not just inviting Christians to thank the Lord and to shout for joy, but he's inviting all the earth. Because, you know, even though a non-believer, even though a non-Christian may not recognize God as God and Jesus as the Son of God, yet God has created them, and God has said that one day that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And even unbelievers, even people who deny the existence of God, God has still created them. They still have God's image. They still are imbued with the Lord. They're made in His image, and they still are recipients of God's gift. Now, how many of you on Thanksgiving Day ate a Christian turkey? I don't know. For all I know, my turkey was a pagan. But he tasted awfully good. And he was raised by some turkey farm. It was a fresh turkey, which meant that about 4 or 5 days before Thanksgiving, he still was walking around. He wasn't frozen in a frozen food section. He was still very much alive. But he was raised by some turkey farmer who probably wasn't a Christian, wasn't a believer. But in God's goodness, God makes the rain rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And God blesses all of us, even those who don't acknowledge or recognize Him as God. And so that's why the psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Because every single person, even those who don't realize it, have been blessed by the Lord. And God has been good to them. Even those who deny the existence of God, the very fact that they have life to deny the existence of God is evidence that God has blessed them and given them that life and given them that mind. So the invitation is to everybody, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then he goes on, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And then verse 3 gives us the reasons why we should worship God, why we should shout for joy, why we should come before Him with joyful songs. And there's two reasons. One, God is our Creator. And two, God is our Redeemer. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. And we are His. God has created everything. God has created people in His image. And you know, you look around this church building. It's a beautiful, you have a beautiful sanctuary. I love the stained glass windows. A friend of mine visited one time. It was Marcia Dyson from the mission. And she said, oh, I love the sanctuary. I love the stained glass windows. Now, you see them every week, and maybe after a while, you just kind of get used to your sanctuary. But someone visiting for the first time, they are struck by the beauty of your sanctuary. This sanctuary was built by people, men and women, designed by men and women who are created in God's image. And God is a God that is creative. God is a God of beauty. God is a God that loves beauty. God is a God that has created us with the ability to build things like this, to create things. You know, people think that mountains and oceans reflect the glory of God. And they do. But I also think cities do. Because you look at a city like Philadelphia, and you see all these high-rises, all these skyscrapers, and then the infrastructure, the electricity, the plumbing, the sewage system, everything that makes it possible for a city to exist. It is amazing. And it happened because God has imbued us, His creation, with the ability to create, to make, to design, to put things forth that are beautiful. You know, we have the joy of Alana playing the piano and the organ. And that is beautiful. And that is a reflection of God and the fact that God is a God of beauty. And He's given her gifts that reflect something of His beauty, His creativity. So the first reason why we thank the Lord and worship Him is because God is a God that has created us. He's our Creator. And you know, He doesn't make junk. He has done a pretty good job of making us, of creating us. You know, you all know I have a lot of health problems. You know what I find amazing about me? That with all my health problems, I still get around. You know? I mean, my car breaks down. One little not module in my car can go on the fritz, and the whole car shuts down. I have lots of modules in me that are on the fritz. And I'm still kicking. You know, my daughter gave me a t-shirt. I think I told you this. She's a doctor, and she gave me a t-shirt. It's a picture of a heart. And it says, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Better than a Timex. And that's true. God is our Creator. And that's the first reason why we worship our God, because He has created us and He has created beauty and He has given us the ability to create and to do beautiful things and wonderful things and to build things. And then the natural realm, the mountains, as I mentioned, and the seas and the ocean and the trees. You know, I have a lot of dying plants at this time of year, but they even look beautiful because they're all different colors. And God has created all things in their time and way, and they reflect His glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's the first reason we worship God in this first section of Psalm 100. And then there's a second reason, that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He is our Redeemer. He hasn't just created us, but he has saved us. He has made us his own. He has brought us into his flock, his kingdom. And so when it says that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, you know, I go right to Psalm 23. And everything in Psalm 23 is true for you and true for me if you know Jesus. And it gives us reasons to thank God, to worship him, to shout for joy. Listen to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a pasture, a place of rest and safety. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Well, our shepherd Jesus is with us. A shepherd always leads his sheep. But I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, a time of celebration and joy. My cup overflows, and surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And at the end of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, it doesn't get better than that. And that's why the first part of Psalm 100 invites us, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Why? Because he has created us and all that that involves. And he has redeemed us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And then the second section, verses 4 and 5, again, it's structured the same way. An invitation to worship and have joy in the Lord, and then the reasons why we should do so. But I love verse 4 especially. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. And Psalm 100 is part of a group of psalms, Psalm 95, 96, 97, 98, that are called kingship psalms. They're psalms that have to do with God as king. And so in verse 4, you have a picture of the throne room of God. And it says that we can enter his gates with thanksgiving, and we can enter the courts of our heavenly king with praise, give thanks to him, and praise his name. And that blows me away. Because God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what that means is that anytime you and me, we can come into his throne room. And we can visit with him. You know, my wife Marcia's here today. Marcia, wave your hand. Yes, she's my better three quarters. And I've diminished over the years. Used to be my better half, now my better three quarters. But Marcia and I, we had the privilege of going to Great Britain twice. And when we were in London, I so very much wanted to call Liz, you know, Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth. I wanted to call Liz and say, hey, Liz, we're in London. Could we stop by at Buckingham and have some tea together? But, you know, I couldn't do that. Because all those guards with those really funny furry hats would have stopped me. She was the Queen of England. But we have a God who's the King of the universe, the King of Kings. And any time I can come into his courts, any time I can come into his throne room, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, our King Jesus, and we can worship him, and we can pray to him, and we can spend time with him, and we can enjoy him. And what really blows me away is he enjoys us. He doesn't just love you as his sons and daughters. He likes you as his sons and daughters. And so the psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, the gates of the throne of God, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So we have this invitation to come and worship our king. And then he gives three reasons in verse 5 why we should do so. One, the Lord is good. He is good. He's a good God. And I would encourage you, I've shared this a number of times here at Rawnhurst, as well as other churches, go on a God hunt. Go and look at your life and all the different scenes and memories and activities and parts of your life, and go on a God hunt and just see the goodness of God, how He has blessed you, how He has provided for you, how He has moved mountains, how He has brought life out of death, how He has healed you. Some of you have been pretty sick. You've been hurt. You've been injured. And yet you're alive today. Because God is good and your King loves you. He's good. Go on a God hunt and think about all the goodness of God that He bestows upon you every single day. You know, at the mission, we have a testimony time quite often in our chapels. And a lot of our men, when they stand up, they will say, "I thank God for waking me up this morning." And that is true. Now, we hear that and we may think, well, that's just maybe a cultural or kind of a cliche. But you know, many of our men have faced death dealing with drugs and doing drugs. Some men have had a gun put to their head. One of our graduates, Michael. Michael's in New Jersey, has his own business, he's doing well. He just went to Jamaica for a destination, or was it Jamaica or Bermuda or the Bahamas? It was somewhere nice. It was a destination wedding for his cousin. And he has all these pictures. I remember Michael when he came to the mission as a homeless, drug-addicted man. And Michael shared the story that he owed money to a drug dealer. And the drug dealer put a gun to his head, planning to blow his brains out. But the gun misfired, and he kept on firing it. Click, 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 click. It wouldn't go off. And so instead, he just beat Michael up. And he lived, and he survived. So when Michael would say in the morning, "I thank God for waking me up this morning," he meant it. Because he knows what it means to be a half a second away from death with a gun to his head. So the Lord is good, and He's good to you, and He's good to me. Now, hopefully none of you have ever had a gun put to your head, but God has woken you up today. God did give you food to eat today. God has blessed you. God has given you blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings, and that is reason enough to worship Him. And then the psalmist goes on, and he says, not only is God good, but His love endures forever. You know, how many of you ever are in a bad mood? Come on, be honest. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We're all in bad moods once in a while. Sometimes more than once in a while. God is never in a bad mood. We never have to worry that when we come to the Lord and we pray, that He's just going to say, "Look, just leave me alone." We never have to worry that God's going to look down upon me and say, "You know, Bob, you sometimes are just a real pain in the neck. Just leave me alone." We never have to worry about praying to the Lord and confessing our sin. And God is saying, "Blah, blah, 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 blah. I've heard this before." God will never do that. His steadfast love is forever and never fails. It endures forever. And when we're talking about love, we're not talking about God loving Mount Everest and being thrilled with what He did. He's talking about loving you and loving me as people, His people. It endures forever. And then the third reason why we can worship God is His faithfulness continues through all generation. And that has to do with the promises of God. That God's promises will never change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That God is always constant. He always is filled with love for you. He always desires your best. He's made a covenant with you. that he who has begun a good work of grace in you will keep on perfecting that good work of grace until the day that Jesus comes back. And so the psalmist gives us these incredible reasons why we should come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and to give him thanks. He is good, his love is steadfast, and he always keeps his promises. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So what do we do with all this? Well, the Lord wants us to be people of joy and to be people of thanksgiving. And he wants it to bubble over. Now, you know, we're not just talking about extroverts. Some people are just naturally bubbly, you know. They're like soda. You pop the lid off and they just bubble over. Some of us are more quiet. But you can bubble over and be joyful even as an introvert. It's just a quieter kind of bubbling. It's just more quiet, but it's just as real and just as sincere and just as authentic. And so the Lord is inviting you and myself today to adopt a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. If you're one who tends to complain and be cynical and jaded and always look at the negative aspects of life, the Lord is saying, stop that, turn from that, and start being a person who sees my blessing and my joy and my goodness and my love and how I keep my promises to you. And start cultivating this attitude of praise and thanksgiving. And today he's given us five reasons why we should do so. One, he has created us. And he has created all sorts of good things for you and me to enjoy. And he's put all sorts of good things in you for you to enjoy and to display and to use for his kingdom. Secondly, he has redeemed us. He is your shepherd. And all the promises of Psalm 23 are yours and mine to enjoy and to just revel in. And then thirdly, he is good. Go on a God hunt and just see his goodness towards you. And remember, his love for you endures forever. And the ultimate expression of his love is Jesus dying on the cross for you. It can't get better than that. Jesus loving you and dying in your place on the cross so you don't have to die. And then thirdly, his faithfulness continues through all generations. He keeps his promises. So friends, on this Sunday after Thanksgiving, I would encourage you to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, to worship the Lord with gladness, to come before him with joyful songs, and know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made you, and you are his. You are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And so he invites us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And he invites us to give thanks to him and praise his name. And then he gives us more reasons to do so. Because he is good. He's good toward you and good toward me. And he loves you. And his love for you will never vary, never waver, never wane. He can't love you more than he's already loved you. And he won't love you less. And his faithfulness towards you will continue through all generations to you and to your children and to your children's children until Jesus comes back.